Psalm 119. Go to verse number 1. Psalm 119, verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forgive me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart I have sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Go to Psalm 119, verse number 97. Go to verse number 97. Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Our Father, I pray that You would bless. I pray that You would guide and direct us in our learning, our understanding, that we might live these things out for Your sake. Guide and direct us in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but every 4 years we have a presidential election. Did you notice that at all? During the presidential election, one of the things that the two parties do is they draw up their campaign platform. Campaign platform. And in the campaign platform, they list statements, premises, prepositions, propositions. It is all of their beliefs, what we believe, what we stand for, and what we stand on. And each one of those things is called a plank in their platform. It is a listing of everything that they stand for and stand on. It is how they're supposed to govern if they get elected, by these things in their platform. And you can tell what a party stands for by reading these platforms. Well, today, beginning today and for the next couple of weeks, I want to give you the platform of Christianity. I want to give you the planks that if you will get these things down in your life, you can actually live the Christian life. You can live as God would have you to live. But you've got to get these things down. And when I say get these things down, I don't mean get them down in your head. Because there's not a thing I'm going to say that you haven't heard before or that you don't know already, for the most part, in your head. It's getting it into your life and living it out and developing your entire life around these things so that you understand everything you are and everything you do should stem from these things, because you are standing on these planks of this platform. Today, I want to talk to you about the Word of God. The message is entitled God's Book, God's Voice. What is your final authority in life? What is your final authority in life? When you are cornered, when you are between the proverbial rock and the hard place, when you are forced to face reality, what do you lean on? What do you lean against? Where do you put your trust, your faith? What do you stand on? Think about it for a moment. When it comes to establishing a standard for morality, what is your ruler? When you need an ethical compass to find your way in this unethical wilderness in which we live, what points you north? When you are on a stormy, churning sea of emotions, which lighthouse shows you the way to shore? So let me tell you this morning, there is an absolute final authority. There is an absolute final authority, one that is absolutely trustworthy and completely reliable. What is it? It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And you need to understand, if you're going to live a life for Jesus Christ, if you're going to live the Christian life, you better get it down that you've got to stand on the Word of God. Amen. You can understand that is your entire life is to revolve around. You are to stand on the Word of God. So, what to rely on? Let's begin there. What are we supposed to rely on? Well, there's some common crutches out there, and these things you're not supposed to rely on, but many people do. The first one is escapism. Escapism. Let's face it. Life's not all that clean. Life's not all that fun. Life's not all that pure all the time. Things get messy. Things go wrong. Things happen, right? They do. So when those things happen, what do? Some people run. They run. They try and escape the reality of the pain. Some run emotionally. They just take off emotionally. Oh no, they're still there, present. They're still physically there, but they run emotionally. They go off into some corner, they hide, they draw the windows, they close everything up, get all dark, and just kind of run within themselves and hide. They're trying to escape. Others run physically. They just can't stand the pain, can't stand what's going on, don't understand it, so they just leave. Whatever there is. They leave the marriage. They leave the church. They leave the situation. They leave a job. They just quit and go do something else. Because that's easy. And they escape. Still others run to chemical dependency. Whether it is alcohol or drugs or something else. Some people run to food. They just try to escape. They're running away from what they perceive to be pain. There seems to be no answer to them. And they take off. Well, that's not an option for the Christian. Let's try that again. That's not an option for the Christian. We don't want to use escapism to get away from our pain. That's not what we rely on. What we're to rely on. Cynicism. There's another one. Cynicism. There are those that not only face their problems, they become preoccupied with them. There's a problem, and they just focus in on it, and it preoccupies everything about what they do. And when that happens, resentment builds up, bitterness builds up, revenge, thoughts of revenge fill their mind, even when that resentment is toward God. It just fills us and takes over. And that cynicism builds and builds and builds to a place where it won't bring anything good. Third one, we'll call humanism. Humanism. They listen to the counsel of some other person rather than God. Instead of running to God's book, instead of running to the Word of God, instead of running where God would have them to go, they're going to go listen to somebody else. Whether it's some television personality, whether it's some person writing a book, some so-called expert on this, some pop psychological babble that they're expounding, they run to some person instead of God, instead of to the Word of God, because this book is God's book. It is God's voice. It is how He would have us to live. But they run to somebody else. The reasonings, the empty reasonings of a man or a woman or a book. It doesn't answer the questions. It leaves them lacking and leaves them empty because only one person has all the answers, and that's God, and He's given them to us in this book. Amen. Sometimes some of the people we trust and run to have written things about the Bible. So it appears as though their smattering of verses makes it biblical. That's not always true. You see, commentaries and commentators on the Bible aren't infallible. Only the Bible is. So in all your reading, make sure you're reading the Bible. Amen. Supernaturalism is another area of escape for some. Whether it's astrology or downright witchcraft or superstition or psychic phenomena all have their roots in the occult. And they will all bring more harm to the one who is dabbling in these things. Stay away from those things completely. Don't get involved in those things at all. Don't go near them. People escape. They get cynical. They trust human beings, or they run off into supernaturalism, and they call it spirituality. You know, I don't believe the Bible or the church, but I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. That's nonsense. Don't lean on any of those things. So what are we to rely on? Try that again. What are we to rely on? The Word of God. So go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Hold your finger. We're coming right back to Psalm 119. Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The second phrase there, lean not unto thine own understanding, carries the idea of leaning on a crutch. Leaning on a crutch. Now, there'll be plenty of people who will try to tell you that your Christianity, your leaning on the Bible, is a crutch. To which I gladly say, you better believe it is. What's your crutch? Is it what we've already talked about, escapism or cynicism or humanism or supernaturalism? What are you leaning on? Well, we need to kick out the crutch, our own understanding, and fall on God and fall on His Word. Trust Him, lean on Him, look to Him, and He'll take care of everything else. Amen. When you understand that we must rely on God. Back in Psalm 119. Verse number 89, Psalm 119, verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. We need to learn to trust in God, His word, and what He has to say to us. Amen. Because He's always right. Number 2, why rely on the Bible? Why rely on the Bible? Well, let's rely on the Bible because of its identity. Because of its identity. Again, what is the Bible? It's God's Word. That means it is the very words of God. Does that make sense? It is the Word of God. What does it call itself? Well, it calls itself Scripture. Go to Psalm 24. Luke 24. The book of Luke, chapter number 24. Jesus Christ on the Emmaus Road, teaching the Emmaus disciples. They don't recognize Him. Then He begins to talk to them about it. He says in verse number 27 of Luke chapter number 24, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." Calls itself Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse number 16. All Scripture. Now what do you think Paul is talking about here when he's talking to Timothy, his young preacher boy? He's talking about the whole of the written work of God. All Scripture from Genesis right on through, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He says in verse number 4, "I charge thee therefore," verse 2, "preach the word." So he tells him there, because it's the word of God that is Scripture. The word comes from the Greek graphe, meaning that which is written. The written Word of God is the inspired Word of God, the God-breathed Word. We need to understand that this book comes from God. And therefore, we can stand on it. We can rely on it. We can lean on it. It is God's book, and it is right every single time. Amen? How often? Every single time. This book calls itself the Word of God. Go to John chapter number 17. Gospel of John chapter number 17. Verse number 14. John chapter 17. Verse number 14. Jesus in his great high priestly prayer says, I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said, I've given them your word. They might have everything they need to live above this world, to live separated from this world, to live different than this world. He said, sanctify them. That means separate them to yourself with thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what we need to understand. Not just know it. Not just understand it intellectually. Not to be able to say, yeah, that's the Bible, that's the truth of God, but to get it down into our lives so that when the problems come, when the storms arise, when things go bad, we know where to run to, not to the next door neighbor, to God and His Word. Because He's right every single time. And we order our entire lives by the Word of God. Not our feelings, not our thoughts, not our opinions, not our reasonings. The Word of God. Amen. It can't be a simple intellectual assent to, yeah, that's the Word of God. No. I'm standing on it. It is the Word of God. We can rely on this. Its identity. Its inerrancy. This book is without error from beginning to end. Without error from beginning to end. So, how do we know that's true? How do we know this is the book of God? How do we know this is not written by men? Well, let me give you a quick acronym, and then we'll go on from there. I won't cover all these things in great detail. We've done that before. But the acronym is MAPS, M-A-P-S, MAPS. Okay? First letter, M, stands for manuscripts. Manuscripts. Do you know that we have more manuscripts of this book than we have of any other book, any other old book, any other ancient book? There are more manuscripts of the Word of God than there is of anything. No one ever doubts whether we have all kinds of books, the works of Julius Caesar, the Odyssey. No one doubts about those things. Yet, we've got more manuscripts of this than we have anything. And we know that we have what was originally written. It's still ours. The manuscripts prove it. A stands for archaeology. Archaeology. Do you know that no archaeologist has ever disproven anything from the Word of God? Ever. Not once. Now, very often, archaeologists will argue from absence. And their argument goes something like this. Well, we haven't found it. And it's in the Word of God, so God's Word must be wrong. Until, you know what happens? They find it. Then they find it. You see, every time an archaeologist's spade digs up some ground, it buries another archaeologist. Okay? Because this book is true, and the archaeology keeps proving it over and over and over and over again. The P stands for prophecy. Prophecy. You know, there are all kinds of prophecies in this book. Do you know how many of them come true? Let's try that again. Do you know how many of them come true? All of them. 100%, 100% of the time. So much so There have been skeptics who have tried to say, well, the Bible had to have been written after that happened. It's that accurate. Prophecy shows this is the Word of God. Amen. The S stands for statistics. Statistics. By that I mean, this book was written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different authors on three continents in three different languages, and there's not one contradiction. We couldn't get everyone in here to write a book without contradicting each other. There's only one way that happens. This is the God-breathed book. Amen. But again, not for your head, for your life. Let everything revolve around the Word of God completely. Three words that you've got to understand. Revelation, inspiration, and preservation. Revelation, inspiration, and preservation. We've already read 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by God. All Scripture is inspired. It is all there. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21, that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Isaiah chapter 40, His word will never pass away. We will, if we're saved, we'll live forever with Him, but His word will never pass away. Revelation. This is God giving His truth to man. He did it in different ways throughout the ages, but God revealed Himself. God revealed His word. God told man what they needed to know, what they needed to say, what they needed to preach, what they needed to reveal to His people that they might know the mind of God. This is God revealing Himself, and it's called revelation. And we have in this book divine revelation. But divine revelation is not enough to ensure to us that we have the Word of God. A second thing had to take place, and that was inspiration. Inspiration. You see, God not only told them, He told them to write it down. And they wrote it down. But involved in writing it down was God inspiring them, God directing them as they wrote His truth on paper. Now, if we were to play that little game, you know, a telephone, where I whisper something into my wife's ear and she whispers it into Godiva, and it goes on through the church all the way in the back to Dan back there, and he's the last one. 9 times out of 10, what I said up here is not what gets back there. Right? Okay? Because traveling by word of mouth, things get messed up. But if I wrote it down and gave it to my wife, and she wrote it down and gave it to Godiva, what are the chances it gets back there right because it was written down? They're very good. Okay? That's what the manuscripts prove, number one. But understand that God inspired the writing of it down. God moved in the hearts and minds of these men that when they wrote Scripture, they wrote exactly what God would want them to write, would have them to write. But God allowed their personalities to come through in this writing. He didn't dictate it to them. He just moved and inspired them as they wrote so that we have the Word of God. Revelation, God gave it. Inspiration, He directed them as they wrote it. And then preservation. Preservation. God had to keep His Word intact for all generations. It couldn't get ruined. It couldn't get wrecked. It couldn't get drifted away from the truth. God had to preserve His Word, and He did just that for us. We know we still have what was originally written. We have God's Word. Amen. And that's a miracle all in and of itself. God worked so that we would have the Word of God. Amen. So, number three, benefits of relying on the Bible. Benefits of relying on the Bible. Again, please, please, please get this down. This is not a sermon about giving you information. So you got it in your head. You can say, yes, I believe all that. This is a sermon designed to get it into your life. Make it a plank in your platform of life so you can stand on it and live it out daily. Because you need to do just that. Amen. So what are the benefits if you will do that? What are the benefits? The first one is stability. Stability. Go to Psalm 119. once again. Psalm 119. Verse number 98. Through thy commandments, or thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Wow. Anybody wants to cause you trouble, anybody wants to give you harm, anybody wants to hurt you, you can be wiser than anyone who persecutes you, anyone who stands against you, if you stand on the Word of God. No, I don't mean use the Word of God as a thing to beat somebody with. I mean stand on and live out the Word of God. Amen. In the midst of the storm, we have a rock to stand on. Amen. I said this morning, God doesn't bait and switch. God doesn't tell you, you come to me and everything will be great and rosy and wonderful for the rest of your life. That's nowhere in the Bible. God doesn't say, you come to me and you can live your best life now. That's not in the Bible. I don't want my best life now. I want my best life in heaven. God doesn't say, you come to me and you can make every day a Friday. God doesn't say that. God says, you come to me and you're going to have persecutors. You come to me and you'll have detractors. You come to me and people will hate you because they hated me. Come to me and you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. God's real about what He says in His Word. But He also says, I will hold you up. I will help you stand. I will give you firm footing. I will be the foundation that you need to keep on going. But you got to stand on this book. And it will give you the stability that you need. When you stand on man's opinions and man's thoughts and man's ideas, that is a slippery slope and you will slip every single time. When you stand on your own feelings, you will slide the other way. Learn to stand on God. Learn to stand on His Word. That is the only thing that will give you the stability that you need. Amen. Amen. It comes through standing firmly on His Word. And that's the only thing that will bring any kind of real stability in your life. Period. It will bring you stability. It will bring you insight. The Word of God will bring you insight. Go to Psalm 119, verse number 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Well, why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. That's pretty good. I trust, I rely, I stand on God's Word and nothing else. Therefore, there's nothing that anybody can really teach me if it's not in the Word of God. Period. Because I am standing on this book. True knowledge, real wisdom, right perspectives come through the Scriptures. Period. The world's wisdom will always try to put Scripture in a bad light. Always. Why? Well, Ray Aldridge wrote, Satan does not waste his ammunition. Professors who are paid to teach philosophy, English, mathematics, biology, often take time from their class periods to undermine the Bible and Christianity. Why are they not doing the same with the sacred books of other religions? The answer is Satan, the original liar, is sympathetic with books that lie. His real enmity is directed against the Book of Truth because it contains the dynamite for his defeat. Well said. That's exactly right. This book has everything you need. You want understanding? You want insight, you want to know, you get involved in this book. You get in this book. You get this book in your head. More importantly, you get this book in your heart and in your life, and you'll know exactly how you should be living. Amen. insight. And it will give you maturity. Maturity. Verse 100 of Psalm 119. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Wow. He said, I'm wiser than mine enemies. I know more than my teachers. And I understand more than the ancients. Who are the ancients? The wise, old people who have written the books and done the studies and put in the works. What does David say? I've got more understanding than them because I've been in your book. I've been in the Word of God. I'm studying the Bible. Amen. He acknowledges here that we gain maturity beyond our years when we understand the Bible. And again, I can't stress it enough. It's not a head knowledge. It is a heart knowledge and a living it out on a daily basis. It matters not what you know if you don't put it into practice every single day. Period. Period. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. He's talking about Moses bringing the Word of God down from the mount, the tables, after he'd met with God and been with God. He came down and his face changed. His countenance changed. His visage changed. He was just glowing because he had spent time with God. And as he comes down from the mount, the people see him and they basically say, Moses, can you put a veil over your face? Cover your face. You're scaring us. You've spent time with God, and we can't look at you like this. Paul then applies that to us. He says in verse number 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says, that veil that they asked Moses to put on their face is still over the Israelites' heart. It's still there. The veil is still there. They can't see because the veil is still there. But he said, but we all, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, with an open face, an unveiled face, God has taken the veil off, and we can see the glory of God in this book. And as we, with that unveiled face, unveiled heart, see the glory of God in this book, truly see God, truly meet with God, we're changed into the glory of God, into the image of God. We're changed. And the Greek word here is where we get our word metamorphosis. We're changed, transformed from the inside out. We become like Jesus Christ, about whom this whole book is written. Amen. You will become like Jesus Christ if you allow this book to change you. And it will if you allow it. Again, it is not knowledge for your brain. It is insight for your life. It must be lived, not just learned. If you will stand on this book, everything else in your life will flow. Oh, it won't be easy all the time. There will be difficult times. There will be storms. There will be problems. But there are answers. And the God that you can lean on in His Word. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that we've had together to share in Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for clearly speaking to us, speaking to our hearts. Now I pray that we would all acknowledge this is stuff we actually know, but don't actually live all the time. Lord, we need to hear from you through your word. Not just about you. Not just gain knowledge for knowledge's sake. But Lord, we need to learn your word that you might make us into the image of Jesus Christ, that as we live in this life, we can live above this world, above the problems. Oh, they'll still happen. They'll still come. But we know what's right. We know what to do. We know to look to you, to lean on you, to have you work in us and through us, that we might be made into the image of your dear Son. Lord, so many decisions need to be made here today. And I pray that we would make them. I pray that above all, we would be determined. We're going to allow the Word of God to change us. Allow the God of the Word to work in us and through us. Help us, Lord, to live the Word of God out daily that we might be more like you. Guide, direct, bless in these decisions. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, what does God want you to do? What decisions does He want you to make? How would He have you live? You say, Pastor, I am saved. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ saved me. Pastor, as a testimony to that fact, I'm raising my hand. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand up. Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. Put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. That's great. You can put your hands down. Amen. 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 Christian, you have been given the Word of God. It's not a textbook. It's a love letter. It's an instruction manual. It is everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. What are you doing with it? Does it sit on the dresser all week long? Or do you truly allow it to change your life? To guide the way you live each day? Or something else guiding that? What does God want you to do? You say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I need to make sure that the Word of God is what I'm standing on every moment of every day. Pastor, God spoke to me. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else, just slip your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, God has spoken to me. Would you pray for me? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Maybe here you say, Pastor, I don't even know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. We love you here. We want to pray for you. But Christ loves you. He went to the cross. He paid your sin penalty in full. He died your death. But He rose again the third day to prove He was exactly who He claimed to be. God manifest in the flesh for you. You say, Pastor, I don't know I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this great gift that we have. Help us understand what a great gift it is, how you did reveal it, inspire it, and preserve it so that we could have it today. I pray that you would work in us and through us as we make decisions that you've laid upon our heart. Be with everyone. Help us all to make right decisions. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 390. 390. If God has spoken to your heart, this invitation is a time for you to speak to Him. Talk to God. Make that commitment. Make that decision. What does He want you to do? As we sing this very first verse, you make a decision. You can come down front, pour your heart out to God. You can come speak to me. Whatever you need to do right now, on this first verse, you come.